The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage. I didn't write the Book of Love. I wrote the Book of Borders, Language, and Culture. Welcome to the Savage Nation. The biggest story to me, the biggest story, the most pregnant story that has not yet given birth, that deserves to give birth, is the fact that the Department of Justice is obstructing the probe into the huge, huge scandal of Eric Holder, of his sending guns to Mexico. Now, they're trying to throw the director of the ATF under the bus. He won't go. He says, no, you're not going to throw me under the bus. It was Eric Holder who instructed me to do this. And, you know, I have to remind you of something. This is very important for those of you who know a little bit of U.S. history, and I don't mean Constitution era. I mean in our lifetime. Do you know, years ago, there was an attorney general under Nixon named John Mitchell. So don't think attorney generals are above the law. John Mitchell was an attorney general. He was tried, he was convicted of crimes during the Watergate scandal in the Nixon administration. Yet I want you to understand that nobody died as a result of Watergate. And yet, as a result of Project Gunrunner, several have died. Several have died, including U.S. employees in the Border Patrol. You may not even know about this case because the hot dogs in the media, who are themselves filled with sodium nitrite in their brain, the hot dogs in the media who pass as reporters have you believing that you should be concerned about Casey Anthony, only the Casey Anthony case. Again, mud in your eye, stardust in your nose. But the fact of the matter is the ATF was involved in this botched operation that sent guns to Mexico, but other agencies were involved. And the fact of the matter is there's been no investigation because Eric Holder is blocking it. It's an important story. And I think it's worth your attention. I believe it is worth your attention. Representative Issa has been attempting to get documents from the Department of Justice, but they will not give them to him. Do you know what is going on? Do you know what this is about? Listen to clip 22.
The director of the ATF, his name is Ken Melson. He's the acting director. Now, he was scheduled to talk to congressional investigators next week and to speak to the inspector general on Thursday. However, in a secret meeting on July 4th, the holiday, Melson, with his personal attorney, went in and spoke to Congressman Daryl Issa and Senator Charles Grassley and basically revealed this. He said that ATF leadership appears to have been effectively muzzled by the Department of Justice. And while the DOJ sent over false denials and buried its head in the sand, that approach, according to Issa, distorted the truth and obstructed our investigation.
Okay, so what? Well, there was into where the guns come from. The ATF, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Division of the Department of Justice, under the direction of the Justice Department, pressured local gun shops in the United States to allow those sales to go through, even though they knew they could not track those firearms once they went into Mexico. Now, why did they do this? Did they do it because they knowingly wanted to see people killed? No! Of course Eric Holder didn't want to see people get killed. That's not the reason. You know, why did he do it? Do you know that our federal agents who work with Mexican authorities and the Mexican Justice Department are not allowed to carry firearms for their own protection, even though they are in real danger of being targeted by drug cartels who are no doubt being informed of their whereabouts by corrupt Mexican officials. The question is, while operating in Mexican territory, those same Mexican officials gave up these U.S. agents to be targeted and killed in Mexico. Needless to say, what did our government do is the question. What our government did under Obama and Holder, was enable these drug cartels to be armed with weapons that originated in the United States. Why? Why did Holder and Obama scheme to make sure that these dangerous weapons would wind up in the hands of drug cartels? Why? I'll tell you why. In order to cripple Americans' freedoms, they wanted to use those weapons in the hands of Mexicans as a reason to restrict Americans' rights to buy certain weapons, and thus to circumvent the Second Amendment and our right to self-defense, and to prevent our now tyrannical government from oppressing its own citizens. That was the goal of Obama and this corrupt administration in the minds of millions of people who actually have studied this. Do you know that an ATF official in Arizona told his lower-level lieutenants that a few eggs must be broken in order to make an omelet? Let me pause right there. That was Karl Marx's original statement. When somebody objected to Karl Marx during the Bolshevik Revolution that they were killing innocent Russians, he said, oh, don't worry about it. You got to break a few eggs to make an omelet. So now we have the Marxist, the corrupt, evil, Obama administration scheming to send weapons into Mexico. These firearms, my lower-level ATF agents were threatened that they would lose their jobs, that they would face criminal charges if they did not stop talking about the danger by such a venture created by top government officials at the highest levels of the Obama administration. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about? Do you have any idea that we have an evil, tyrannical government that has usurped the privacy, and they think that above the law, sole arbiters of what should be, what law should be violated? I believe that if this is with Project Gun.
Savage.
Las Vegas, Kurt, what's your lifestyle question?
Thanks, Dr. Savage. I guess I'm just looking for some advice or to see what you do in my particular situation. Now, I'm 26 years old, and I've been married for pretty much 6 years now with my wife, and I've known her since we were 14, actually. Met in high school. Weren't high school sweethearts, just good friends. And as time gone by, you know, I joined the military, and I'm going to make it a career. I know that in my heart that I love it, and I'm trying to follow in my family's footsteps with it. And
beautiful.
Having said too, I'm putting myself through college because I want to better myself inside that career and also have something I can do once
fantastic.
I get out after I serve.
Fantastic.
And as I'm getting older and like hitting it as hard as I can, my wife, she's just a stay-at-home wife, and she just, I mean, all I ask is please keep the house clean, you know, cook, do whatever you need. You just support me at home because I'm going to do all the work. And just put yourself through school. I'll pay for it if we have to. I'll go any
route.
But
she doesn't want to go to school. She doesn't even want to do that.
No, like, honestly, we had the same exact classes this past semester, and it's a long story. But because of what she pulled, she decided to drop out. Although I was ahead of her in the classes, and I was basically giving her the work. Like, this is all you have to do.
Why did she drop out of school?
She just said she couldn't handle it because we have a son at home, and he's a special needs child. But she said handle anything with having.
All right, so she's a little overwhelmed from the special needs situation.
Yeah.
As someone who had a brother, which I did, I don't know if you know, I had a brother who was born what they called brain damaged in those days. It seriously affects the other children. It affects the mother most profoundly, but it also affects the father profoundly. So you got to cut her some slack here. You know, it's. She's filled with conflicts because both mother and father feel that they're somewhat at fault. And the guilt with regard to a special needs child is something that is never, ever discussed so far as I know. Yes, of course, you should focus on the child's needs, but the parents also have to be dealt with what they're feeling. I mean, you yourself probably have some problems with that, right?
Oh, I definitely do. And the thing is, this isn't our first child. Our first son, he actually passed away because of just a genetic malformation. And we found out through negligence of the doctors when they did genetic testing.
Oh, God, what a mess.
We were both
What a sad, sad story. And you still have the heart to want to go into the military despite all of these terrible things that have happened to you?
Oh, yeah, I'm in the military. I've been in for about 4 years now, and I absolutely love it. I love doing my job every day.
Well, thank God you have a structure that is bigger than you in which you can lose yourself. That is really the most important thing I have heard. But your wife is the problem now, correct?
Yes.
So what is it you'd like me to answer? I don't quite understand which part of this question I can help with at all.
Just with everything like weighing down on me, and just I just feel like I have to drag her along. It's not. I don't mean to be harsh about it. I know.
Oh no, be harsh because she's not listening to this show. Obviously, is that correct?
No, not at all.
Is she apolitical?
Is she political? No.
No, I'm saying so. She is apolitical. She could care less about politics.
Oh yes, exactly.
Does she know that you're very political?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Does she care about your politics? Does she find you to be too right wing, too conservative, or anything?
I find it bores her, you know, for the majority of it. It's like kind of
yeah. So you don't have that in common. You don't share a common political orientation, which is difficult. So what do you share other than the burden of the tragedies in your between the two of you? Do you share anything else?
We used to have more common interests when we were younger and when we were friends, and and we still seem to share some when we actually first got together. But as time goes by, it's just more and more of it has just dropped off, and it's. You know,
how are you doing financially?
Financially, I take care of everything, and I run the house as far as finances.
No, I'm saying, do you have enough money as a member of the military to support your family right now?
Yes, I do. More than enough, actually. I've made some good.
You see, this is an interesting thing because, you know, military personnel are underpaid to begin with, but here you are saying I have more than enough. So you're not a greedy man. You're a very interesting person. You're a very good person. You want to give to the country, and you are giving to the country. You're a good father. You're a good husband. And you feel that your wife is somehow not a drag on you, but you don't know how to motivate her is what you're asking, what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. I just don't know what to do. I'm like kicking and screaming in the dark, and I've told her that. Like,
and I assume you're calling this radio program because you have no one else to turn to. Is that correct?
I mean, I've talked to family about it, but somebody who's not family, not a close friend, just somebody on the outside, just, you know, unbiased opinion, who don't really know either of us and just can hear the situation.
Well, there's no way to kickstart people. You can't come up with some magic idea like bring home a, you know, Barbie doll for her and she's going to react to it. I'm using a metaphor, of course. The problem here is systemic not between the two of you necessarily. But this woman has already, she's lost a child, right? You said you lost a child?
Yes, we have, and we're going to lose her.
Okay. Now you have a second child who is developmentally disabled or what?
It's a whole slew. You probably know the terms. Miller-Dieker, lissencephaly.
Oh, God, you're a poor God. It's terrible. Terrible suffering. You've got to understand your wife is suffering. She's in very deep pain, and I'm sure you do know that, correct?
Oh, yes, I do.
So you're afraid that if you don't do something and you don't intervene, she's going to drift further and further away from you and further away from an active life, and she's going to become a complete vegetable lost to the world, is what you fear.
Exactly.
Where is her mother in all of this?
You know, I want her to progress in her life. And
No. Where is your wife's mother in all of this?
Where is she actually... Another addition to the story is I'm actually slotted to go overseas in 4 days and for a year away from her, so she's with her mom in Florida.
Oh, my God. Is her mom at all helpful?
Oh, yeah, she's very helpful. She's a very, very wonderful woman, definitely.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do for your family only because you've touched me so deeply. It's not a big deal, but it's a token of my gratitude, and I'm sure for the people who are listening to this program across America, if you'll be so kind as to give us an address that is not on the air, but to my, you know, my producer on the Savage Nation. I'm going to send you a gift that may not come until next week, but I just want to give you something personal for that, okay?
Wow, thank you. Oh, wow. I don't know what to say. Thank you so much.
Other than I'm sorry to hear you're going through such terribly difficult times, so I hope we don't get calls now of people who want money, because I'm not going to give out any more money. I mean, it's just awful, because as someone who's seen what a child who is handicapped does to everyone in the family without knowing, I mean, they don't do it. But what having a handicapped child or a developmentally disabled child, the effects upon the mother, the father, the other siblings is overwhelming. And people don't even understand it. And a father like this, who still has the strength to care enough to stay in the military and fight for his country, God bless him. I'll be back.
Savage.
This just came out from the Telegraph in London. Radio makes Britons happier than TV and the web. I knew it all along. I know why you're listening to me. Listening to the radio makes people happier and gives them higher energy levels than watching TV or browsing the internet, new research has found. Over 1,000 Britons were polled via their smartphones and asked to record what media they were consuming and to rate their mood and energy levels while doing so. Radio came out on top, beating both TV and online in a study called Media and the Mood of the Nation, blah, blah, blah. So their happiness goes up when listening to a radio show versus not consuming any type of media at all. So they say that radio is a lifestyle support system that makes them feel better about their lives. Immense potential of radio to influence emotions. And you take a man like me with a great voice, a God-given gift. I have a gift of a voice and a gift of a brain, the ability to put two and two together. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I apologize for the technical difficulties we had in the last segment. I opened the show talking about a very serious problem, which is Operation Gunrunner, which allegedly goes all the way to the head of the Justice Department, according to the ATF chief, who they're trying to throw under the bus. If you don't understand the story, go to michaelsavage.com. I linked up to Fox News. The ATF chief, who they're trying to throw under the bus, says the Justice Department itself is obstructing the Fast and Furious probe. It's a very serious topic. And I want to remind you that this was done by design, by independent analysis of many people who know what Obama is up to and who this communist tyrant really is and what they really want to do to you. The reason they ran guns into Mexico, knowing full well that some of these guns would be used to kill innocent Mexicans and possibly American police, is they wanted to then say to the public, you see that, how dangerous these guns are? We've got to ban them in America. You have no idea what you have in the White House and what you have in the Justice Department. You have no idea how devious these people are, nor to the extent to which they will go to deny you your freedoms, guaranteed in your Constitution. Now, if it was just me saying it, you'd say, all right, I don't believe him. But here you have the ATF chief himself, the ATF chief himself saying what I just said. This is far worse than what led to the indictment and the arrest of John Mitchell under President Nixon. And remember, Watergate, no one died. No one died under Watergate, yet the attorney general was indicted and he was found guilty. Don't tell me an attorney general is above the law. I've tried to tell you in many different ways that we're all people. And you say, well, that's obvious. Somehow you people think that if someone is a senator or a congressman or a president or an attorney general, they're somehow of a higher quality than you are, more sterling in character. Some are. Some are equal to us. Some are below us. And some of them in those positions are the worst people on the planet. 1-800-449-8255. This is about gun control, gun grabbing. This is about the Marxist tyrant in the White House who puts on the face of Mr. Nice Guy licking ice cream cones and then behind the scenes is stabbing Lady Liberty in the heart. Every day he tries to eviscerate Lady Liberty. Every day they try to cut her heart out. And you stupid idiots, you. Casey Anthony, that's all you heard about from that psychopath on CNN. 2 years that lunatic on CNN was pushing that. And now the media is saying, oh, that's all you cared about. Day and night, you couldn't wait for every evolving element of that story. I never listened to it. I knew it was a cover-up. I knew it was an attempt to throw stardust in your nose. I knew what it was. That psychopath, that lone nut, if you look at her eyes, if you look at the eyes of the lunatic on CNN who pushed the Casey Anthony case for 2 years, and you compare those eyes to daguerreotypes from madhouse pictures from the 19th century, they're exactly the same. Take away the microphone and you see a mad person who should be in a straitjacket. Instead, she's got a microphone on CNN. And now the entire media got the infection. Casey Anthony, Casey Anthony, Casey Anthony, Casey Anthony, Casey Anthony, Casey Anthony. Not one story about the death of a nation. Not one story about the stabbing in the heart of Lady Liberty. Not one story about what this Marxist tyrant is doing to this country. Casey Anthony, Casey Anthony, Casey Anthony, Casey Anthony. Global warming, Casey Anthony, global warming. You idiots, you. You know, you got the kind of government you deserve. You got the government you deserve. I'm gonna diverge for a minute. There's a project that's being worked on, one of my properties, and there's a lot of guys working on it, many of whom, most of whom are Latino guys, Central American guys. They're really hard workers. They're good guys. They're very, very hard workers. So I spoke to one of them today. Actually, I said, you've got a great haircut. Where'd you get it? It was an interesting kind of Aztec-like haircut. I wanted to get one. So we had a laugh. And, you know, I thought about it when I left. This is not the first time I thought about it. I said to myself, the reason these guys kill themselves to get into this country to work these jobs is because there's no opportunity in their own country, number one. They make a decent living here. I don't care if it's $10, $15 an hour. It's a fortune compared to what they make in their home country. But then I said the other flip side of the coin is these are the jobs that in the past would have gone to boys or young men who don't want to work. You got American boys who would rather stay home with hairnets on planning their night in the club. They won't work. They don't know how to drive a nail. They don't know how to saw a board. They don't know how to lay a wire. They don't know how to attach a pipe. So why do you, now you understand why the illegals are here? If the white boys in this country will become useless idiots like Adam Sandler and Seth Rogen, role models for them to remain idiots until they're 35 years old. If these white boys who normally would have done these jobs would have learned a skill in school instead of learning how to put a condom on a cucumber, then you would have a problem. You wouldn't have a problem with illegal aliens. They're filling a vacuum. People need plumbers, electricians, carpenters, laborers. But the white boys are too lazy to do it. They're busy staying, and they come out of college. They got a degree in nothingness. Now under Nancy Pelosi's Obamacare, they can collect a medical care till they're 26 years old, laying around in bed all day, smoking pot, going out to a club at night, putting on a shirt, looking like a big shot. They don't have 10 cents in their pocket other than what their mother gave them. They don't know how to do a thing. They're worthless. They come out of college. They're useless. Totally useless. Perennial children. Seth Rogen. Seth Rogen is their role model. Or that other moron, Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler makes a fortune projecting the infantile role of the white male. And that's what we have in this country. Now, what does that have to do with the ATF scandal? Everything. It's why they can get away with it. That's how you can get a Marxist tyrant in the White House who can get away with almost anything because the potheads don't even know what he's doing. The reason they don't know is they don't care. All they care about is having sex and smoking dope, if not using harder drugs. And if they get in trouble, mommy sends them to rehab. Rehab. All right, so what do you want to talk about? 1-800-449-8255. Go to michaelsavage.com for this and other stories. ATF chief says the Justice Department itself is obstructing the fast and furious gunrunner probe. They're trying to throw this man out who's the head of the ATF, and he's not going so fast. They thought he would roll over and they could just crush him. And he's blowing the whistle on him. There's been no global warming since 1998 from James Delling Pole on the Telegraph. The world is not warming, and yet the fools Oh, I had an interesting interchange today with a reporter from the San Francisco newspaper because he published an article and my hair stood up. I went on it this morning and I couldn't believe what I read. The headline, they took it down now because of my, I swear they dropped it. Oh, here it is. Wait, here's the headline. I'm trying to get it back up because they dropped it. They must have, they took down the original headline. The original headline says that although the coast of California is cooler and wetter, it proves that there's global warming. It showed that it proves that there's global warming. So in other words, even though it's cooler, they say this proves that it's global warming. So then they find some stupid moron, meteorologist, in other words, a weatherman, a pothead weatherman who says, wait a minute, he says, the findings of it getting colder fit in with the predictions of Al Gore scientists who believe the climate is changing as a result of human-caused carbon emissions. So in other words, even though it's getting cooler, it's because of global warming. It's astounding how they get away with this. So I sent them an email. He sent me an email. I sent him an email. Back and forth, we had an email exchange, which I will get to later on because it's very interesting to see. And it's actually sad when you look at it. It's sad when you see he's probably a nice guy who writes for the newspaper, you know. And I sent them an email, and he sent me one. I sent them a Delling Poll's article, so he sends me one from someone who says that Delling Poll is a fool. So I send him an email, and I say, the corrupt leading the dumb is what I sent to him. The corrupt leading the dumb. So he sends me an email which says, back to you, he says. Back at you, he says. So I send him an email, and I say to the reporter, your degree is in what, journalism? I mean, he's writing about global warming. I said, your degree is in what, global journalism? So he sends me an email which says, if you have a criticism, make it, please. I don't have time for games. Doesn't answer the question. So then he sends me another one, and I say to him, your degree is in what, please? And then he says to me this, and I say to him, there's an interesting email I send him. I say to the reporter from the Chronicle who's pushing the global warming hysteria, I said, I would refrain from disagreeing with a man of your scientific expertise, given you are so knowledgeable that you would hope to educate me and my millions of my listeners. May we request a live interview with you that you might dispense with the hundreds of scientific articles disproving Al Gore's faulty theory? P.S. Gore received a D in the one science course he took in college. And then he sent me an email back which said, I don't know what he said. And he said, I'm not sending propaganda. I sent you a link that might help you educate yourself about the folks who disagree with you about climate science. He said, okay, so now you know what the whole journalist establishment is today. You could see what it is. It's very sad. It's extremely sad. They're probably nice people. And he says to me, finally, I am neither a scientist nor am I a proponent of any view on the subject. Suddenly becomes Mr. Neutral. He said, so I'm afraid I can't help you in the dispensing argument. But your sarcasm is so endearing, I suggest you get a scientist or the guy who made those videos I sent you to argue against your hundreds of articles and listeners. I think his name is, and he gives me a name. He's well-spoken, easy to find, and would probably give you a good show. And that was the end of it. And I thought how sad the world is that boys like this would go to school and get a degree in mass communications, come out and know nothing about science, and just be a useful tool of the international schemers who are making a fortune on carbon credits and such lies. They're not bad people, these reporters. They're not bad. I mean, my intent is not to ridicule them. It's just sad. And the same sadness overwhelms me when I see how Obama, the corrupt Obama, can manipulate these people. I'll be right back.
Savage.
All right, so we got four or five topics in the air. The Gunrunner scandal that is being buried by the Casey Anthony propagandists. The Al Gore's lie about global warming. Now they're saying that cooling is caused by warming. It's astounding. And, of course, the hordes of young men from Central America who are working every construction site in America directly as a result of the fact that young men in America are infantilized. All they want to do is party on, gel their hair, and go out at night. They don't want to work. And this is the problem. Here we are. So, you know what? Are you going to get mad at every Latino here? You're going to get mad at every alien, illegal alien, and say they're all no good? Look, let's be real about it. Let's stop the hogwash. The vegetables aren't picked unless they pick them. The nails are not hammered into the boards unless they pick up the hammer. The electricity is not laid into your house unless they lay the electricity. The pipes are not laid down unless they lay down the pipes. You say, well, okay, if they weren't here, blah, 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 why the Republicans? The Republicans will do nothing. They're the ones who brought this on. Stop with your lies already. You people are deluded if you think that the Republicans are going to do anything about illegal aliens. They don't even care about it. They don't even care about this. They don't care about it one iota. So they're working here because there's jobs, that's all. So there's four topics now. Ohio, Bill, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, sir, Michael. Great to hear you. Love your program. You're always straight to the point. No BS out of you. That's what I love. I think the problem in America with these guys that go to college, they get out of college, or they don't go to college. They just lay around and smoke dope, and they don't want to work.
Hold on the smoking dope. Who was it who spent millions of dollars to legalize marijuana under the guise of medical marijuana? It was George Soros. The same evil George Soros who has bought a goodly percentage of journalists in the United States of America to put out his filthy socialist lies has doped up America. This man is a demonic megalomaniac who is virtually running the world. Do you know that George Soros has more power than most sovereign nations in terms of influencing people?
Yes.
Well, this is the problem. This is the problem in the estimation of those who will analyze it. Let's go back to the Gunrunner scandal. It's a big one. It's a very, very big one. Houston, Texas. Nathan, you're on the Savage Nation.
Good morning, Michael. Good afternoon, Michael. I want to ask you a question. I want to get your opinion. During the Iran-Contra affair, no Americans were hurt or killed, and yet they wanted Ronald Reagan and Oliver North to go to jail. In your opinion, do you think that this is not a bigger story than the Iran-Contra affair?
Well, my comparison was that it was certainly bigger than Watergate. It is certainly bigger, a bigger scandal than Watergate because people died. I understand hundreds of Mexicans were killed with these guns, and at least one U.S. Border Patrol agent was gunned down with these guns. Deaths have resulted. The head of the ATF says his authority came from the Justice Department, and I'd like to know why there's no hearing. I mean, ISA is running a hearing, but it's almost undetectable in the midstream media.
I personally think Eric Holder might as well have pulled the trigger himself. That's how I feel.
Until we can say for sure that Eric Holder actually signed the documents authorizing Operation Gunrunner, we cannot say that. However, the head of the ATF at this point is saying his orders came from his bosses inside the Justice Department. Because you could argue that the buck stops at the presidency in that he's the boss of the Justice Department, you know. Kansas City, Don, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Doctor. I would like to comment on the Project Gunrunner as well. If you give me a minute, I'd like to explain. I've been in the industry for 25 years in the firearms industry, and we've been watching this since it went down. And I don't know if you remember when both President of Mexico and the President of the United States sat there and said that the biggest problem going on is the flow of illegal guns going into Mexico. Okay.
Yes, that was Nancy Pelosi's push 2 years ago. U.S. guns, Barbara Boxer, U.S. guns, all of the chime, the whole chime went off, Feinstein. It's U.S. guns causing the violence in Mexico. I remember the orchestrated campaign, yes.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. And the issue at hand is, and you, Michael, I got to tell you, you hit it right on the head. And I certainly hope that you don't let go of this because this is bigger than I think you realize it is. But you know, this whole issue is very simple. And for you gun owners out there, you'll understand. The president doesn't have the power. It's the legislative branch, Congress, that has the control over U.S. production of firearms. The president can only limit and regulate importation of firearms. So there's a big difference there. But the key issue here is, really, when they were talking about these guns, and I'd like to find out exactly what types of guns, because if my instincts tell me correctly, you're going to find predominantly these.
All right. Well, we're going to get too technical for the average listener. I don't want to lose them. You know, it's a very big story. but the sea of the media is so vast it's going to get lost. This story is being pushed very hard by Fox News. God bless them for pursuing this. Daryl Issa, God bless him for pursuing it in Congress, but it's gaining no traction because of the vermin in the media. The global warming pushers, those who support radical Islam in the media, and they all do, by the way. They hate Christianity, but they can't get enough of radical Islam. Those brainwashed fools with computers in the newsrooms are the reason this giant scandal is going nowhere, in plain English. Chicago, Bruno, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Mike. I'd like to make a connection between the U.S. Constitution, international...
It's too long already. I could see it. It's too big. Can't you make it simpler?
Yes.
In other words, I don't mean to demean you in any way, but when I start hearing U.S. Constitution, people are going to turn the show off. They got to remember what this is about. It's about the U.S. government authorizing the shipment of guns into Mexico, which wound up killing people. And the reason they did it was to say, you see that? It's the U.S. gun manufacturers who are killing people. We got to ban the Second Amendment. That's what Obama wanted to do here. It's plain and simple.
There's a little bit more to it than that, though, because...
Of course there's more to it than that. I can write a book on this.
Through the use of international treaties, if the United States enters into an international treaty, it's currently it's unsettled law whether or not the...
All right, it's too complex. The issue is... What did Eric Holder do with regard to Operation Gunrunner, if anything, and why has there been no demand for an indictment? John Mitchell was indicted for Watergate. He went to jail. He was an attorney general under Nixon. Where the heck are the Republicans on this issue? The answer is nowhere. Country club Republicans, check pants Republicans, beware the government media complex.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Is the Savage Nation. There's so many topics that are worthy of discussion. The Operation Gunrunner scandal that's being buried by the lame media. What's the point of bashing the media? They don't exist anymore. But for Fox News, which is to me 50-60% of what I want, but they're better than what we get from the others, and some talk shows and some internet sites, we have nothing. The media is in the pocket of Obama. Never before in American history has the government media complex been as operational as it is under Barack Hussein Obama. I'll give you an example. This morning, Zbigniew Brzezinski, Jimmy Carter's, he was a national security advisor. Brzezinski is possibly one of the most deranged men in the history of the American government, in my opinion. Brzezinski, after all, I believe was one of the architects of the overthrow of the Shah of Iran, which either inadvertently or on purpose led to the emergence of radical Islam around the world. Brzezinski is also, according to what I've been able to put together, one of the architects of the revolutions going on in the Middle East right now. Brzezinski goes on MSNBC this morning and shockingly is interviewed by his own daughter on a morning show. Listen to this. His own daughter interviews her father, government media complex, and in the interview, Brzezinski says that we have to tax the rich in order to balance the budget. That the only solution, I don't want to hear the sound right now, the only solution is taxing the rich, once again pushing the communism of Barack Obama, the tyranny of Barack Obama, the Marxism of Barack Obama. Now, I have been trying to tell you that Obama has decimated this country in ways that you can't even understand. One way, NASA, gone, no more missions to the moon. The man ended the shuttle mission. That alone, to me, is impeachable. We went from being one of the leaders in space to passengers in space under this communist from college, Barack Hussein Obama. I try to warn you, he was taking apart the military at the joints, but you thought it was just right-wing hysteria. I want to read an article, pieces of it, that I found this morning by Jed Babbitt on American Spectator called Bob Gates' Legacy. Remember Gates, the defense chief, who recently retired and was given the Medal of Freedom by the communist in the White House? Gates is probably one of the most horrible defense secretaries America has ever seen. He should hang his head in shame. If there was a gallery of shame, Bob Gates would go into that gallery of shame for what he did to this military. I want you to hear one line. In 5 years as defense secretary, Dr. Robert Gates transformed the American military and put it on a course that will limit its ability to defend us for decades to come. Decades to come. Gates's term as defense secretary began under President Bush and ended after more than 2 years of Barack Obama's presidency. Of Gates's so-called accomplishments, three stand out. Each of them is a significant part of Obama's agenda. Now, again, this agenda is the radical leftist, Marxist, tyrannical agenda of Obama. First, the sociological experimentation that he and Obama have imposed on the military. What does that mean? Second is the path of weakness and withdrawal from the global war against Islamic terrorism. Third is the diminution of our armed services' ability to develop and use conventional forces, investing only in forces intended to fight unconventional wars. Now, Gates was the only defense secretary in U.S. history chosen by a new president to remain in office from one administration to another. But why? Why would he be serving Bush, or a so-called conservative, and be picked by a tyrannical Marxist called Obama? Why? Why is he so malleable? How is that possible? The article is amazing. It's on michaelsavage.com from American Spectator. But you have to hear some of the things that Gates has done to the United States military. Gates's biggest blow to the military was a direct order from Obama, was last year's repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell that prohibited homosexuals from serving openly in the military. That's number one. Do you know what else he did? Well, there's a lot else that he did that I have to tell you about. Let's play Gips accepting the Medal of Freedom right now, and I'll tell you what else Gates did to decimate the military.
I'm deeply honored and moved by your presentation of this award. It is a big surprise, but we should have known a couple of months ago you'd get pretty good at this covert ops stuff.
I can't take this. He's weeping again? If you were Al-Qaeda or the Taliban, would you be afraid of America if the defense chief wears a pink tie and breaks into tears when he's given a little prize by the president for being such a malleable fool? What are you afraid of here in this country? You think the Chinese are not watching this? One weakling after another breaking down in public. What kind of country am I living in? This man is not a local shopkeeper. He was defense secretary. Starting to weep and sniffle? In public because the president gave him a little citation. What else did Gates do to this country? Do you know about women on submarines? Did you hear about that one? You didn't hear about that one. Well, I'll tell you about that one very shortly. Under Obama, they decided to put women on submarines. Now, what do you think that's going to do to the submarine corps? It's going to turn submarines into what? Love boats. And what's going to happen? There are going to be lawsuits. They're going to destroy the U.S. submarine fleet. What else has Gates done to us? Did you know about the F-22, the F-35? Do you know about the Navy's shrinking fleet? I'll leave you with this idea because most of you don't know this. The Navy's shrinking fleet of ships is now about 286 ships. You say that's a lot. It will now be smaller than at any time since World War I. Let me pause right there. That's a take-home message for those of you who don't understand that Obama is a communist and he is a tyrant. And he was put in office to destroy America. He has now shrunk the U.S. Navy to a fleet that will be smaller than at any time since World War I. And what else did Robert Gates, the great hero, do? He has dedicated the Pentagon's shrinking budget to the kind of weapons used now to attack terrorists by remote control, such as drones. But nations such as China and Iran, not America, are going to determine whether conventional wars have to be fought in the future. Will we be ready? Will we have the tanks? Will we have the men? Nobody who studied this thinks we will. He has made us defenseless, and that was why he was given this award by the communist tyrant in the White House. Okay, so what can you say about any of this? What can you actually say about any of this? It's, It's overwhelming. I recognize it's overwhelming. It's horrible when you think about it. And you say, well, why is it happening? What can I do about it? At the little dinner I gave the other night, July 4th, in San Francisco to 30 or so of my top donors here in the Bay Area, somebody asked me, actually three different people said the same thing. They said, Savage, what can I do about this? What can I personally do about it? What should I tell you? To go write to your congressman? I should tell you to write to your lobbyist slash congressman. You think he's going to care? Your lobbyist congressman is not going to respond. There's probably five of them who are doing any good in Congress, and about five of them are doing anything that the people want in the Senate. The rest are sold out and beholden, as far as I can tell, to those who put them in office and keep them in office. You say, well, it's always been that way. I doubt it. I doubt it very much. 1-800-449-8255. This is the Savage Nation. If you care to topic, if you care to discuss what Robert Gates has done to the military and to NASA, and or the other topics we've been talking about, such as Operation Gunrunner, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255, or, and this is a big or right now. The or is, let's go together to michaelsavage.com, because there are other stories. I think that maybe some of these will appeal to you. It's very hard to know what will appeal to people anymore. I think they're burned out. Let's see here. Men accused of gang raping a girl, 11, due in court. All of the suspects are black while the girl is Hispanic. Is that a topic of any interest to you? How about another race-related story? Mob cheers as man stabbed in Chicago. Race-related. Let's go to another story from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Black mob beats up and robs whites and eats chips. No hate crime charges. Does that appeal to you? I'll be right back.
Savage.
It's the Savage Nation. My voice is going. I've been screaming and yelling here. I'll have to let you do the talking on the Savage Nation. Sharon in Indiana, go ahead, please.
I just wanted to say that I totally agree with you on what you said about Mr. Gates and Obama. And I have always felt that he is someone who's out to destroy this country. And people look at her like you're crazy, but I mean...
Well, you know, for a long while, I wouldn't join that chorus. I was saying, no, he's just an idealistic socialist who's following his agenda. But I don't believe that anymore. I believe the evidence is clear that Obama I have to select these words properly. I believe that Obama is by design decimating the American military, destroyed NASA. You could go down the list of what this man is doing, and if you put it all together, what can you conclude? What would an intelligent person conclude about a president who does this to the military, reduces the Navy to a fleet smaller than that since World War I? Let's start with a simple fact. What is someone to argue that with the growing threat of China, was supposed to feel good about that? Now, what does putting women on submarines have to do with national defense? Nothing. It has to do with pushing a liberal agenda. The military be damned. Why is a woman on a submarine? How is that going to help our men on the submarine do a better job?
It's not. It's a problem.
It's going to create a love boat situation. It's going to create tension that doesn't exist. It's going to lead to court martials and lawsuits, which is exactly what the rat feminists want. I can't say anymore. Marilyn, Dan, you're on the Savage Nation. Your topic, please.
How you doing? Eric Gates is definitely changing the way we do things here in this country. I happen to be a second, third tier contractor for the military. I have a family company. Family employed 300 people at one point, and now the military funding has dwindled down quite a bit, cutting our business quite a bit. And,
well, that's right. You don't need money for the military. You need money for night basketball and for Acorn. That's what you need the money for. You need to spend the money on Acorn and night basketball and construction projects that nobody needs.
Absolutely. It's been killing us. And not only that, when you see the way the Department of Defense does things, we have a mountain of paperwork that goes along. If you've ever heard of the $10,000 toilet seat in the White House, it goes along every day with what we do. It's amazing.
And you have to prove, and they have to prove you have a certain number of minorities in your company?
That's part of it. We are a minority-owned business, but that's not a...
Well, that's good. Then you're approved by the KGB. That's right. The KGB has put a stamp of approval on you. The main thing is not that you can produce a good part or a good product. It's that you satisfy the social engineering of Barack Hussein Obama. Yeah, this is how it operates. And he goes to do a Twitter town hall. Don't lose the main story. The ATF chief is saying higher ups at the Justice Department blocked the response to Congress, meaning they covered it up. They're covering it up. That's the head of the ATF. It's on my website. What else is in the news? Well, I don't want to overwhelm you. Gun grabbers, we've covered that with Operation Gunrunner. You say, well, there's too many guns in the streets anyway. Darn it, that Obama's doing a great job. We want the guns out of the hands of those rednecks. Yeah, get the guns out of the hands of those stupid white men with those guns. Then we'll have a good country. Make sure only the criminals and the illegal aliens have guns. That's what we need, is every gang to be armed to the teeth and the average homeowner unable to defend themselves. That's the country I want to live in, says the 26-year-old child living at home with his mommy since he came out of college and can't or won't get a job. That's what he's been taught in school. Sacramento, Fernando, welcome to the program. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Michael. You're a great American, sir.
Let's stop right there. I'm not a great American. That's something that a stooge on the other station uses. None of them are great Americans. They're shills for the Republican Party. So now go on to the next point.
Yes, sir. America is a land of equal opportunities, right? So in my thought, females have equal opportunity and right to...
It's not about equal opportunity. It's about defending the nation, Fernando.
I'm a liberal too, Michael. It's not...
I know what you are, Fernando. You're putting your agenda ahead of your brains. If you took your head out of your trousers, you would understand how stupid you sound. It's not about whether women have the right to be in a submarine. It's about whether it makes it a better fighting ship or not. Do you understand that?
Michael, I think you are a mentally disturbed person.
Yes, I know what you think. But you see, the problem, Fernando, is you have no access to the people. I have 8 million listeners. I've written one bestseller after another, and you're an unemployed fool. So what good does that do you?
Sir,
your opinion doesn't count for very much, Fernando. It's about as important as the toilet paper at Coney Island. Did you hear me, Fernando? You think women have the right to be in a submarine. Do you think illegal aliens have the right to be in a submarine too, Fernando?
No, not legal.
Take a walk. You know what? Don't ever listen to this show. Never mind, don't call it. I don't even want Fernando to listen because I think him listening lowers the IQ of the average listener. Just sucking some of my intelligence into his ears lowers the value of the IQ of this show. What's the difference? I'm not going to get angry. Why should I get angry at a fool? No, sorry, Bob. They listen. Yeah, they call me names, but they listen. Around the clock, they listen. Women have the right to be in a submarine. Of course, they have a right to be in a submarine. Does that mean it makes it a better fighting ship, Fernando? No answer. Here's a new story just came out for Fernando. Court orders halt on gay military ban. Federal court orders U.S. government to stop enforcing ban on gays openly serving in the military after declaring that the Obama administration has proven the policy is unconstitutional. Now, again, the question becomes this. Will gays in the military make it a stronger fighting force or a weaker fighting force? That's the only question. Of course gays have the right to serve in the military. No one argues that they shouldn't serve in the military. But the question is, will it make it a better fighting force or a weaker fighting force? That's the only question. You have to discuss that. Is Eric Holder's Justice Department trying to cover up Operation Fast and Furious, the gun investigation? These are big topics that we are absolutely going to discuss on the Savage Nation. And you can call us at 1-800-449-8255. Obama's cut the military to the point where there are fewer ships since World War I, smallest Navy since World War I. He decimated NASA. No more moon missions.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Operation Gunrunner continues to be covered up by the Justice Department. That's one of the headlines. You won't make it to your local newspaper because they got their marching orders from the Obama White House not to talk about it. Court orders immediate halt to gay military ban. That will be the headline in every newspaper in America tomorrow. Venezuelans pawn their life without Chavez, the dictator. You notice how the newspapers have made him into a hero because they are in agreement with his totalitarianism. What else do we have? Libyan rebels seize two mountain towns. And that's about it. There are many other stories here on the Savage Nation. Virginia Jane, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Hi, Michael. I wanted to call personally to thank you for being the sole voice out there in the sane universe to give us the news that's really important instead of all this garbage about Casey Anthony and all these other things that are just distractions from what's really happening.
Right.
In the world.
This has gone on for 2 years, the Casey Anthony story, and it's by design. It's to make sure you don't know what Obama's doing to this country. Well, it's to make certain you do not know how he is tightening the screws every day to weaken us militarily, destroy us spiritually and sociologically, and thereby render us a nation no longer.
And I want to also thank you because finally I'm hearing the conversation from you, which I have been saying for a long time and nobody else will say it, is that any intelligent person can look at the actions and the things that have been put in place and the things that have been done, and you can only come to the conclusion that it is being done intentionally. That is the only...
Right. When you cut the military to the bone and you have the smallest Navy since World War One, while China is building aircraft carriers, while Russia is on the rebound militarily, what can you conclude? You can conclude that the Marxist tyrant in the White House has weakened our military on purpose to render us incapable of defending ourselves for decades to come. I don't care if you're a liberal or a conservative. You know, there's an area where everyone seems to have agreed over the years, and that was national defense, national security. I don't see how anyone objectively can analyze what this man is doing to us on a military level and come to the conclusion, to any conclusion other than the one I have drawn. Thank you for the call. How about NASA? In Trickle-Up Poverty, the best book written in the last 5 years on the subject of politics. The single best book. Best researched, best referenced. The best book written. I'm not complaining. The book was a bestseller for a long time, and that's all you can expect out of the world today. In Trickle-Up Poverty, I spent a big portion of the chapter on how Obama was weakening the military, on what he is doing to NASA. Ended the moon program. Again, without a statement, to me, was an impeachable offense. Not reported in the newspaper. Casey Anthony, Casey Anthony, Casey Anthony, global warming, global warming. Casey Anthony, global warming, homophobia. Casey Anthony, global warming, Casey Anthony, global warming, say the Stooges. That's all. That's the whole story. Fresno, Roger, you're on the Savage Nation. Your opinion counts. Go ahead, please.
Michael, yesterday on the front page of a major California newspaper appeared an Associated Press article that said the space shuttle program is a magnificent failure.
So in other words, the government media complex put out the press release making the great Obama look like a hero for destroying NASA. Is that it?
The article was disgusting. It's like jumping up and down on the American flag in baseball.
Yeah, well, if it was such a failure, how is it that we put men on the moon and did such great work with regard to Mars exploration? And why is it that he has decided to end NASA and buy us? You know that he's buying U.S. astronauts seats on Russian spacecraft? Do you know that?
Yes.
Roger, Obama has ended the shuttle, and he has bought seats on a Russian spacecraft to get us into space. How can anyone not see this?
It's disgusting.
Well, okay, we know that. New York, George from WOR, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Yes, Dr. Savage, I just want to make a point that no matter who we try to induct into the military to make a political point, the fact is that we always create soldiers no matter what they come from, and if we always mold them into soldiers, whether they're gay...
Wait, you're not making any sense. What does that have to do with anything? So you're saying women on submarines... will make the submarine a better, submariners a better organization?
No, it just means that it makes soldiers no matter what.
Well, you're just repeating a homily over and over again. Do you have any idea what women on submarines will do to the submarine fleet in terms of the men on the boats? Do you have? Can you figure that one out?
They're always conditioned in training during boot camp to be.
You know, you're like a robot. You're like a robot. You're repeating. What did you get a piece of paper with this on it? If a woman is on a submarine, there are still men and women. There's the elements of a man and a woman. Don't you suspect that there are going to be some affairs on the submarine and that the submarines will become love boats?
I still believe there's still some decorum of humanity. No matter
well, that's what. Because you're a fool. I mean, I was a visitor aboard an aircraft carrier. You ask anyone serving what goes on these ships. Do you have any idea in the real world as opposed to the newspaper world that you live in, what goes on ships today because of women on ships? Do you have any idea the chaos that this has imposed upon surface ships?
I believe in
No, you don't believe. You believe. You believe. That's your answer. You believe. You believe. Okay, whatever. Virginia, Quinton, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Savage. I'm a little confused by your whole thing with the submarine. I understand the whole dichotomy with having women on a ship. I'm trying to understand and figure out why making such a big deal about this.
I'll tell you why I make such a big deal about it. If you knew about the statistics in the Navy, you would understand why I'm making a big deal about it. Do you know what percentage of so-called sailors are getting thrown out of the Navy at full pension, full benefits because they're pregnant, that they're getting knocked up on ships?
How often does that happen? Please give me
a very, very large percentage, and it's sucking the budget, which has already been reduced to the bone, cut to the bone.
Let's look at the Israeli army where you have men, women. Right,
don't bring up the Israeli army. It's nothing compared to the U.S. Army. Stop with the Israeli army. The Israeli army is no model for the world. They couldn't even defend themselves in Lebanon. I'm sick of about the great Israeli army. It's reduced to rubble lately. Israeli army. What's the Israeli army today? Without the U.S., Israel would disappear.
Very true. I'll give you that one.
All right, thanks. I'm glad you'll give it to me. The Israeli army. Great Israeli army. Israeli army. Oh. Hezbollah sank a ship, and the Israelis couldn't defend themselves in the Lebanon war. They almost lost that war. In fact, they already lost it. Women on ships have been a disaster. It's a social experiment that was started long before Barack Hussein Obama. And now Obama's added the cherry on the pie by putting them on submarines, which is a whole different world. It's a different culture. It's a different culture. You go on a Navy ship and you see these kids, these young kids just out of high school. Half of them are pimply-faced kids. They gave them a uniform and shoes, and now they have a job. Thank God. They get on the chow line. 1,000 of them marching around. It looks like a high school on the ships today. Thank God we still have an officer class that can still run the ship. And then you have the drones running around. And what do you think they're doing during the spare time? They're having sex on the ships. And the women are becoming pregnant on the ships. Then they're getting sent back off the ships so they can raise their baby with no father at full government expense. That's a result of the social experiment imposed upon the military by Patricia Schroeder and the other harridans who originally enforced this upon the military. So now Obama's ratcheting it up and putting women on submarines. Kansas, Ricky, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. As a Navy veteran, I've got to tell you that I think a lot of people do not realize what close environments you live on in a ship. And that is one of the biggest problems. Most people don't understand that when you go to the shower, you take your ditty bag, your towels over your shoulder, your butt naked.
That's correct. So then they had to build separate showers for women, separate toilets for women, and a submarine which has very limited space will now have to create accommodations for women. So maybe they'll take a few torpedo tubes and convert them into women's toilets. That would suit Obama, wouldn't it? You know, women's bathrooms as opposed to torpedo tubes. After all, you don't need torpedoes anyway, right? All you need is a flower and a gun.
And as you know, what we call our dorm is a little hallway, which is about 4 feet wide, and you have three rows of beds going up and down, four deep, and you all live there, and you're very in close proximity. You're walking butt naked to the head with your ditty bag, and you're going to have to be watching over your shoulder to see who's watching you. They don't understand the camaraderie.
That's right, and then the women can go and scream with a whistle that somebody exposed themselves, and they can sue. They can claim that they were wrecked from it emotionally by seeing a man.
No, women was bad enough. Homosexuals...
All right, thank you for the call. 1-800-449-8255, Savage Nation. Let's go to the next caller. Ryan in Mississippi, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Good evening, sir. Yeah, I want to tell you, I spent some time on fast attack submarines, and I totally disagree with women being on submarines. The intensity, the operating tempo is intense enough. And also, too, what are they going to do when it comes to hot racking? I mean, we only have so many racks, and sometimes...
Well, as I said, you take out the torpedo tubes and you build dorms for the girls. Because we don't use the torpedoes anyway, right? Or the missile silos could be converted into ladies' ping pong rooms, so that they feel comfortable about the submarine. Wouldn't that suit Obama? That's a way to disarm the Navy. Isn't that a way to disarm the military and the submarine fleet? After all, the submarines exist for one reason only, which is to fire intercontinental ballistic missiles, ICBMs. So since he can't overtly take down the ICBMs, what you do is you put women on submarines, and then you say, oh, the women need an accommodation. So what you do is you remove some of the torpedo tubes, you remove some of these silos for missiles, and what you do is you put in ping pong rooms for the women and women's toilets, and that way everyone's happy.
Yes,
look, I can only use so much sarcasm, but I'm screaming my heart out here, Ryan. I see a traitor in the White House. I don't have any other words for it. The man is decimating this country from top to bottom. But he's such a good con man that he comes out with the act, the Malia and Shlemia and with the ice cream cone. By the way, I thought that there was an unspoken rule that presidents would not use their children for political purposes. I thought there was some unspoken rule that the media said that the children of presidents are off limits. Why is this president using his beautiful young daughters day and night to push his nice guy image? And how does he get away with it? So many questions. So many questions with so few answers. I'll be right back.
I think people's families are off limits, and people's children are especially off limits. This shouldn't be part of our politics.
Malia and Sasha generally finish their homework a day ahead of time. Malia's 13, Sasha's 10. It is impressive. They don't wait until the night before. They're not pulling all-nighters. They're 13 and 10.
Yeah, and then we get the picture. So first that they're off limits, then he uses them. Then he says that Congress shouldn't take a break, and he went away on vacation. What else is new? What else is new? From man the torpedoes to person the prenatal clinic. I mean, the call of the submariners used to be, man the torpedoes! Under Obama, it will be, person the prenatal clinic! That's right. Convert the torpedo tubes into prenatal clinics. And convert missile silos into women's showers. I mean, they are vertical. When you think about it, a missile silo would make a wonderful woman shower where they'd feel comfortable on the sub. Women need to shower, you know. They don't want to sweat like a dirty man, like a dirty, filthy, sweaty man on a submarine. They need to be clean. They get kept clean. They should put a hair salon in one of the missile silos. And let's say there's 8 tubes on a submarine, missile tubes. Now, since we're no longer at war with anyone and there's no Cold War, well, instead of converting them into planters, you can make a missile silo into anything. A woman's shower. 2 of them should be women's showers. 2 of them could be converted into a prenatal clinics. 1 of them could be converted into a hair salon. Another one could be converted into a nail salon, so the women could have their pedicures and manicures. And maybe leave 1 missile. There's plenty of armament on a single missile. We don't need all of them anyway. That's a good thing when you think about that. And it goes back to the 60s image of Obama with a flower and a gun. How many times? So what's this going on with Murdoch? Drudge is running this big thing. Rivals pound, media war of the century. I know they hacked into police phones and they hacked into various victims. And Murdoch's under a lot of pressure now. But we don't care about it as much because what do we care about English newspapers? Families of killed soldiers hacking targets. Murdoch is being roundly attacked by his competitors over there in England. I wonder if they're hacking here in America. You think that Fox is hacking into people's phones here? I mean, tabloids are tabloids. You know, a tabloid is a tabloid is a tabloid. As she said in Oakland, I forget her name. Whatever her name is. Whatever. Sky falls in on Murdoch. Murdoch Empire in Crisis. I have no feeling on it one way or the other. I mean, I'm banned from the Murdoch Empire. I'm not allowed in it. They don't let me in the Empire. I'm still not banned in San Francisco, nor in New York. I'm banned in England and on Fox News. It's really weird when you consider my last best-selling book, Trickle Up Poverty, was published by Harper, which is an imprint owned by the News Corporation. And yet nobody on Fox News was allowed to have me on television because of a boss leprechaun. Boss Leprechaun prohibited Michael Savage from appearing anywhere on Fox. They were warned, so far as I know. You'll never have him on. We can't have him on. Only hookers, pimps, drug addicts, drug dealers, terrorists are allowed, not Michael Savage. No, sorry, Bob, said Leprechaun, the fool. Do you really care about this media war of the century? Matt, come on. That's like stretching it. I know I'm stretching it today with Rupert Murdoch, chairman of Strongly Back Rebecca. I don't know. It's not a big scandal. To me, a bigger scandal is the gun scandal. That's a much bigger scandal is the gun running into Mexico. I'd put that on a top of Drudge. But then, look, I'm the Michael Savage report, so I can't tell him what to do. Nice guy, very smart, runs a great website. But, hey, I got to tell you what struck me today. They moved it them off the head. The local newspaper had an article this morning that is cooler and wetter on the West Coast than in decades, but it's owing to global warming. So they changed the headline the minute I started having an interchange with Peter Fimwright, the Chronicle staff writer. Apparently he's the environmental writer. And when I challenged him on his credentials, he got mad at me. And they're trying to say global warming is causing it. Global cooling is being caused by global warming. And this is out of an insane asylum. If people had said that 50 years ago, they'd say he's nuts. Put him in a straitjacket. How could warming cause cooling unless you're Al Gore, who got a D in the only science subject? He took one course in science in college, Al Gore, and he got a D in it. It's unbelievable to me. It's just astounding to me how they get away with it. But how does Obama the Marxist tyrant, get away with it? Same thing. How does Obama give the Presidential Medal of Freedom to Robert Gates for decimating the military? And Gates breaks down in tears and people don't notice how embarrassing this is and how apt it is that a communist president would give Robert Gates the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which is unheard of, for doing what? For destroying the military, for making it so weak that we can't defend ourselves for decades to come. And what happens if China decides to engage in a land war with us, since they have millions of extra men? One thing China has is men. They have more man babies than girl babies. This was by design. They understand social engineering. They wanted more man babies, more male babies than female babies, so they could have freestanding males to use like cannon fodder in a land war. So they could overrun surrounding nations, or they could send them here as illegal aliens and pretend that they're not here for any other reason other than to work in a restaurant, when in fact they all have arms and secret caches waiting to spring up and attack us, some would say. That's crazy. I understand, just paranoid fantasies. Nobody should think that way. All Muslims come here because they love America and they love the freedoms here. No one should think that they do otherwise, because after all, that would be racist and insensitive to Islam, and you can't have any such feelings, not in America. And so when you see cooling emerging, just know that it's caused by heating. And when you see terrorism coming from Muslims, just understand it's caused by the Jews and Christians.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now,
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Some of the questions we've been covering on the Savage Nation today include the fact that the Muslim major Nidal Hassan, the terrorist who will be on trial for the Fort Hood massacre where he killed 13 and injured about 30, will actually face the death penalty. But the question is, his massacre took place in 2009. Why has this terrorist not yet been tried, convicted, and executed? Answer, because Obama's been delaying the trial for political reasons. Another topic has been Attorney General Eric Holder. He is facing increasing scrutiny over Project Gunrunner, where he sent automatic weapons to Mexico to Mexican drug dealers.
The director of the ATF, his name is Ken Melson. He's the acting director. Now, he was scheduled to talk to congressional investigators next week and to speak to the inspector general on Thursday. However, in a secret meeting on July 4th, the holiday, Melson, with his personal attorney, went in and spoke to Congressman Daryl Issa and Senator Charles Grassley and basically revealed this. He said that ATF leadership appears to have been effectively muzzled by the Department of Justice, and while the DOJ sent over false denials and buried its head in the sand, that approach, according to Issa, distorted the truth and obstructed our investigation.
But no legal action has been taken. People have died as a result of Project Gunrunner. Attorney General John Mitchell was convicted of crimes during Watergate in the Nixon administration, yet no one died as a result of Watergate. Should Eric Holder be indicted right now?
Well, if you think that's frightening, how about identity theft? What if someone stole your credit cards and tried to destroy your life? Don't be a victim. Call my advertiser, LifeLock, today. Call LifeLock right now at 1-800-642-2289 and get 60 risk-free days just for Savage listeners. You heard me. 1-800-642-2289. Call them now.
President Obama conducted a Twitter town hall meeting today. Do you think it's beneath the dignity of the office for the president to go on Twitter? A member of parliament in England has called for the deportation of immigrants who cannot find work, will not speak English. Why has no Republican in America made the same proposal in the United States? Today also, there was an astonishing correspondence between myself and a reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle. I could not believe my eyes. I mean, even this shocked me, expecting the worst from them. The headline said, "The chill of global warming. Climate change appears to be making our coastal regions colder." I said, wait a minute. This defies logic and common sense. But there it was. It says, it's a result of global warming that we're getting colder weather on the West Coast. And it's unbelievable to me that he would continue to do this. I started a correspondence with him, and I read the article. There's been, and I sent him an article where I said, there has been no global warming since 1998, published by James Dellingpole. So the author of the Chronicle article, Peter Finwright, sent me a blog article called Climate Denial Crock of the Week. So I responded to him, the corrupt leading the dumb. He sent back an email, back at you. I said, Savage says to him, your degree is in what, journalism? He sent back to me without answering, you have a criticism, make it please, I don't have time for games. Savage says to the would-be journalist, your degree is in what, journalism? You have time to print propaganda but not to discuss reality? I will read this interchange in my radio program today, heard on 310 stations. The listeners will give their reactions to your article. If you wish to show how serious you are, you may call in. The journalist Fimwright responds, please explain to me what propaganda I am pushing and what reality I am refusing to discuss. And I don't see much of an exchange here. I sent you a link that might help you educate yourself about the folks who disagree with you about climate science. I'm not pushing it, he said. I think people who discuss issues should understand and acknowledge all sides of them. I sent him an email. Well, I would refrain from disagreeing with a man of your scientific expertise. given you are so knowledgeable that you would hope to educate me and my millions of listeners, may we request a live interview with you that you might dispense with the hundreds of scientific articles disproving Al Gore's theory? P.S. I wrote, Gore received a D in one of his science course, in the single science course he took in college. Well, that wasn't the end of it. There was more. But you get the idea. Well, we looked up a background on this writer in the Chronicle, Peter Fimwright. And, you know, I really don't know the man. He's probably a very decent chap. But we see that he has no degree in science. He studied mass communications, whatever that is, at Cal State Chico. Past stories he has written include record low number of Chinook salmon in California spawns controversy. I guess that's nothing there. Toxic plume cited in Aaron Brockovich, still spreading. Deer population in California declines steeply. California's Yurok Indians exult a return of sacred items from Smithsonian. I guess they could put them in their gambling casino. It may help bring in some customers. And finally, study suggests mass extinction looms on Earth's horizon. And wait, here's another article he wrote. Anne Frank's spirit lives on in Chestnut Tree. Well, I guess that's the level of environmental science today. Now let's go to michaelsavage.com and see what's on my website. Top left, picture of a gorgeous polar bear, one of my favorite animals. There has been no global warming since 1998. And James Dellingpole of the London Telegraph writes, if the world isn't warming with the alacrity alarmists prefer, how are they going to keep the funding gravy train going? Well, of course, the answer is they're going to say that cooling is a result of warming. British lawmaker says expel idle immigrants. Those who can't speak English and those who don't work from Eastern Europe, he wants to toss them out. Obama brings Somali terrorist to U.S., offers full legal protection. Unbelievable. Fort Hood massacre artist will face death penalty. Terrorists look to implant bombs inside humans. That's in their body cavities. The ATF chief they're trying to throw overboard says that the Justice Department itself is obstructing the probe of machine guns to Mexico. Top paid employee in California, prison psychiatrist, paid $833,000. How's that? What else is on my website? Well, feds recommend ex-cons for hard-to-fill jobs. The voters right there. Whitey Bulger, arraigned on 19 murder counts. Men accused of gang-raping girl, 11 of them are due in court. All the suspects are black while the girl is Hispanic. Another race article there. Sickening. Mob cheers as man stabbed in Chicago. Another article about race. Black mob beats up and robs whites, eats chips, but no hate crime charges. It's unbelievable. And here's finally, prostitutes threaten to set themselves on fire to protect brothels somewhere in Asia. The world is going to you nowhere in a handbasket. And the president's getting ready for a vacation to Martha's Vineyard. Oh, mine eyes have seen the glory of the stamping out the grapes. Sacramento, Phil, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Well, I just had a comment about gout and uric acid. We were talking about it about 10 minutes ago.
Cherry juice.
A little bit.
Cherry juice.
Okay. Cherry fruit extract, yeah, in a capsule form.
Yeah, I don't like I do drink. I did get bottles of cherry juice without sugar. I have to get the tart cherry juice. Because I don't like the regular cherry juice. It's too sweet.
Yeah, it's in a gelatin capsule. You take two of them in the morning and two at night.
I had enough with the vitamins. I don't want any more capsules. I'm going to drink cherry juice. But they make a just tart cherry juice. It's very good for reducing your uric acid levels. I save many people with the very well-known established remedy from the 60s of kidney stones. People who are going to go in for surgery when I told them to get... that it wasn't cherry juice, it was the cranberry juice, but not sweetened, diluted cranberry juice. It is undiluted, unsweetened cranberry juice. You drink that for a day, you'll probably break up your stones. I saved several people from surgery when I was in a nutrition practice. Little known, not respected by the medical establishment because there's no money in it. But guess what? It works. All this and more today on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
I need to cook a piece of fish tonight or tomorrow night, and I haven't been able to do it properly. So I've asked for a professional chef to call the show. We have someone in Portland. Tammy,
on KXL. Go ahead, please. How do I pan fry fish?
You want to pan fry it. So what you want to do is marinate it just a little bit with your olive oil. And then when you go to put it in the pan after it's marinated, you want to put just a sprinkling of your favorite seasoning salt and about 2 tablespoons of your favorite olive oil in the pan, about medium-high heat. And I like my fish done.
Absolutely. I won't accept pink fish anywhere. I don't know where this trend came from, this stupidity, this sushi grade fish that you get pink. People are getting parasites from it. I'm a trained epidemiologist. You don't eat raw fish. This is total insanity.
Wrong.
You know, this all started with the chefs with the pink fish. I send it back over and over again. No pink, and they send it to me pink in the middle. I like my fish cooked. Thank you for the help. See, you can't ask anybody anything. I wish my mother were alive. I'd call the nursing home. I'd say, Ma, how do you cook fish? She'd give me an answer. She wouldn't tell me how to. She wouldn't give me the rigmarole. No long story. She said, you put oil in a pan, get it hot, and throw the fish in. And before it burns, turn it over and cook it. That would be the answer. My mother would have made a great talk show host. Down to earth right then and there. Here we go. I'm going to get fish callers now. Fishy callers. Indianapolis, Indiana. Steve, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, hey, Mike. It's the temperature of the oil.
I knew it. So how hot do I make the oil before I put the fish in?
350 degrees.
I put oil in a pan and I turn the flame on. How do I know when it's 350 degrees?
You get a little thermometer that hooks on the side of the pan and goes in the oil.
Wow, a new device to buy at the gourmet shop tonight.
Yeah.
I didn't even know they made such a thing. But wait a minute, how is it not going to pick up the temperature outside the pan?
Well, because it kind of holds it away from the side of the pan a little bit.
Oh, I love that. That's so scientific. So 350 is the place, and you slip it into 350?
You don't want it to touch the bottom of the pan either.
Really? How do you keep the fish from hitting the bottom if it's a nice piece of fish?
Well, you got to kind of, when you first drop it in, kind of stir it around a little bit.
Yeah, that's exactly the point where I've always had trouble, where it sticks. The minute it goes in, it sticks.
Yeah, you got to kind of shake the pan a little bit, you know, and then...
Now we're getting the chef's calling.
Yeah.
And a little body English on that on the forearm.
Yeah, well, we had fish on Friday a lot.
No, I'm serious. Not easy to cook a piece of fish right. Anybody could eat food, but it's very hard to know how to cook it.
Yeah, if you're frying it, especially.
Frying is very difficult. It really is.
Yeah, the trick.
Well, thank you, Steve. 1-800-4. Oh, here's an. I got to take this call. Ian in Tampa, Florida. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Yes.
First of all, the woman that called, she was pretty close. The gentleman that just called you, he was wrong because the thermometer on the outside is measuring inches of oil in a pan, and if you're cooking sole, which I understand you are. The thermometer is not going to measure 2 tablespoons of olive oil.
Right, well, give it to me the way my mama would have done it. She would have taken a thermometer and put it up, you know what, if someone thought of a thermometer in a pan. She would have said that thermometer is for when you have a cold, not for measuring oil in a pan. What are you, nuts? She would have said, can't we just do this on an intuitive level? How do you cook fish in a pan? See how complicated this is? How do you do it?
If you want to cook it in a non-stick skillet.
Yes.
2 tablespoons of vegetable oil, not olive oil. It's got a high smoking point.
Right. Like I use soybean oil on the turkey breast because it didn't burn. I hear you. So you put in a nice fresh soybean oil, two tablespoons. Did you say teaspoon or table?
2 tablespoons in a nonstick skillet. If you're cooking sole, it's an extremely thin fish. Sea salt, fresh cracked pepper.
All right, but now here comes the good part. How hot do I get the oil before I put the fish in the pan? This is becoming a great question now.
Well, the problem is that with a nonstick skillet, with a Teflon skillet, which I would recommend cooking sole in, it's not really going to smoke. You don't need to smoke it. It's going to cook very gently. It's a very, very gentle fish. You're going to cook
okay.
It very slow for just a minute maybe on each side.
So it's like a liberal fish. It's going to actually enjoy being cooked. It's going to say, thank you for cooking me before it disappears into the oil.
Michael, take it out of the pan, put it on a plate, deglaze with a little bit of white wine, a little bit of chicken stock, a fresh piece of lemon, a little bit of garlic, a little bit of tiny butter, and then pour that over once it reduces onto your fish, and you will have the...
Wait, hold it. Is this after I've already cooked it?
Yes, the fish, you want to cook it 3/4 of the way. Remember something, the heat from the pan will continue to cook the fish. Take it out and put it on the plate you're going to eat from. A little bit of chicken stock. A little bit.
Oh, I like the white wine part, the chicken stock. Okay, then I put that all over the fish, then put it back in the pan?
No, put those things in the pan with a tiny little bit of butter, swirl it around, let it reduce down, and then take that out of the pan and put it on the fish. Remember, the fish is going to continue to cook, even though
see.
It's not in the pan.
Sure, the molecules are moving out of the pan. I understand that. After the heat gets started, you're moving molecules. So the molecules will keep moving within the fish, even though it's outside the pan. That I get. So it's continuing to cook. And then pour that broth, in essence, that reduction broth, over the fish?
A little bit of chicken stock, white wine, fresh garlic, and a little bit of fresh lemon squeezed in there, and a tiny bit of butter at end to reduce the sauce until you like it, whether it be thin or whether it be a little thicker. Pour it over the sauce and whatever accompaniment, whatever starch or vegetable you have with it, it's done.
Ian, are you a cook in a restaurant?
I graduated from Peter Combs in Manhattan, yes, sir.
Isn't that something? You see, you gave me a straight-up answer. Are you a chef today?
I have since retired, but cooking is my passion, and I am dying for you to release the meatball recipe that I've been listening to you for 5 years.
You know, this is a funny story. I received the meatball recipe by mail when I first started in radio on a local station here in San Francisco 10 years ago or more, and I actually published it in the Savage Nation. Have you seen that recipe in that book, Ian?
No, sir, I have not.
Oh, my God, it's unbelievable to me. It's in there. It was sent to me by an Italian listener in San Francisco. I think it was incorporated in a story on not only how to make a meatball, but how to eat a meatball hero, because it required the right bread. He described the bread had to be crunchy. And not to ruin it with the wrong sauce, because, you know, the whole thing here with the king, he said, was the meatball, not the sauce. This guy knew what he was talking about.
Right.
So you cook every night for yourself?
Well, I do. I don't have...
Have you given up on restaurants because of the poor food and the poor service?
No, it took its toll on me over many years. I enjoy being outside now more.
Yeah. Well, I like going out. The problem is the price you pay is awesome.
Savage.
James Shirk is a senior policy analyst on economics for the Heritage Foundation. He's on the Savage Nation today to talk about the nation's high unemployment and really how Obama's economic policies are keeping the unemployment number from falling. James, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Dr. Savage. Thanks for having me on.
Well, why has unemployment remained so high over the last few months?
Well, the real problem we have is with business hiring. If you take a look at layoffs and workers losing their jobs, that increased quite dramatically at the start of the recession. And it was all over the news. We'd hear about companies going under and workers being laid off. Thankfully, that's come down. It's come down a lot. There's actually fewer workers being laid off today than there were when the recession began. The real problem we have is that hiring has also fallen quite sharply, and the hiring is not picked up. If you looked at just the hiring numbers, they're as bad now as they were in the last quarter of 2008 when the economy was melting down. You've got fewer businesses starting up, fewer new businesses you're trying to get off the ground, and the existing businesses are pulling back. They're not trying to expand and open new branches, open new operations. So you've got just a lot less hiring going on. If you've got a job, you're more likely than you were before to keep it. But if you don't have a job, getting back into the labor force has proven quite tough. The problem is that businesses invest when they see good opportunities to create goods and services that consumers value. Right now, entrepreneurs are seeing fewer of those opportunities, and that's keeping hiring down and keeping unemployment high. And, of course, the recession explains part of this. The National Federation of Independent Businesses, they conduct a survey of small business owners and ask them about their single greatest problem. And the top response, as you'd expect, is poor sales. But government is also responsible. Small business owners, their next most frequent answer is taxes. And their third most common response is government regulations and red tape. And combined, both these categories are a greater problem for small business owners than do poor sales. So right now, even in the midst of this incredibly weak economy, you have more small business owners saying that taxes and government regulations are a bigger problem to them than red tape. Now, there isn't a magic wand we can wave to try and revive the economy and make sales come back. I mean, Obama tried that with the stimulus. Ben Bernanke tried that with the monetary policy and putting interest rates really low, and it hasn't worked. But the government has direct control over the burden of taxes and regulations it puts on businesses. And instead of lightening that load, it's making it heavier.
Why do you think Obama's keeping taxes high, despite economists recommending that they be lowered?
Well, if you're a small business owner, what you care about is the tax rate that you're paying. If you're someone who's an entrepreneur looking to start up a company, it doesn't really affect you that you've got people who aren't paying income taxes if you're paying a lot of income taxes. And for all that Obama talks about, we've just got to go and levy taxes on the rich. We've got to hit the rich. We've got to make them pay more. And his bill, Obamacare, contained a lot of taxes on the financially successful. But who are these rich? It's a successful business owner. It's an entrepreneur who had an idea for a business. You put a lot of time and effort and money into it and got it off the ground. I mean, you know, it's not as though most of the rich are just, you know, lucky lottery winners or something like that. It's people who've worked hard, had an idea for a business, and made it successful. And the tax rates on successful entrepreneurs are very high. And the president is promising to make them even higher. And it's a huge disincentive to make that kind of sacrifice and take that kind of risk.
Is the administration playing with numbers to help pretend they've done more for the economy than they have?
Well, the administration is trying to pump up the stimulus and pretend that the stimulus has done more. Now, the Bureau of Labor Statistics is incredibly scrupulous and accurate when it comes to reporting the official unemployment rate of 9.1%. There's no reason to suspect that the Bureau of Labor Statistics is doing anything fishy. But what the administration is trying to do is claim that the stimulus, which they said if we passed the stimulus, right now we'd have 7% unemployment. But if we didn't pass the stimulus, we'd have 8% unemployment. Well, we passed the stimulus, and now we have 9% unemployment. I mean, they have their models for what the stimulus would do. We passed the stimulus, and those models were clearly wrong. And now what they're trying to do is go back to those very same models and say, but if we hadn't passed it, if we hadn't spent all this money, things would be even worse. Well, those models are wrong. It's been shown that they were wrong, but they're still trying to use them to support the notion that the stimulus was helpful because, I mean, they can't very well admit that it was a failure because what does that imply about the administration's policies? You know, that's the kind of thing the administration will never admit.
Why has it taken so long for employment to recover? What's different about this recession?
Well, I think a lot of what's so different is what the government's doing. I mean, you're exactly right. If you take a look at the last time we had a recession that was this painful and this deep, it was in 1981-82, where unemployment went up to almost 11%. But within a few years, 83-84, tremendously strong growth, and the economy came back quickly. What's different now is that you had all these policies that are being passed that are a tremendous burden on businesses. You've got Obamacare, which not only raised taxes, but it's going to make health care premiums much more expensive, a tremendous burden on employers. So you've got the Federal Reserve Bank presidents are saying that what they're hearing from businesses in their districts are people simply saying, look, I'm not going to hire a single new employee until I know what my health care costs are going to be. So you've got the burden of Obamacare. You've got the burden of the National Labor Relations Board is trying to push on companies, trying to force unions onto them, even when in many cases the workers don't want the unions. But they're trying to change the rules of the game to force unions on the employees and the employers. You've got all these very costly regulations either already passed or being passed. And I think a lot of businesses are saying, do we really want to invest right now? Why don't we just wait and see what happens, and maybe we should take our money elsewhere? And that's something we didn't have. In 83-84, you had good economic policies. You didn't have government adding to the burden facing businesses.
Well, is high unemployment the new normal?
Well, that's a policy choice. If we decide to adopt a European-style welfare state, if we adopt French economic policies, we're going to have French levels of unemployment. And look at France. They've got 9-10% unemployment. That's not just the unusual thing that happens to them in the worst recession we've had in a generation. That's just everyday occurrence in France, having 9-10% unemployment. That's just what they're used to. And if we're going to adopt French economic policies, if we want a crushing tax burden, a crushing regulatory burden, if we want government spending to take up a mammoth portion of the economy, well, then one of the things that comes along with that is you've got less entrepreneurship, you've got less business innovation, less hiring, and higher unemployment. It's a policy choice. And right now, we haven't seen unemployment come down. And if we decide that we want to go the route of a French-style or European-style welfare state, we're probably not going to see it come down.
Well, do you see any positive news on the economy for the unemployed?
Well, the only good news is it's not quite as bad as it was a year or two ago. I mean, there's been slow, gradual improvements, but just not enough. I mean, the economy needs to be creating between 100 and 150,000 jobs every month just to keep up with population growth and the growth of the labor force. So if you hear a jobs report coming out that says, well, the economy created 50,000 jobs on net, well, that's not actually good news. With 3 years of those kind of jobs reports, and we'll have much higher unemployment because you're not even keeping up with population growth. So you've got to get a decent level of job creation just to keep up with population growth. And last month that didn't happen.
Well, I mean, in your opinion, will the economy really ever recover?
It'll probably recover to some extent. The question is, how much is it going to recover? If we want to go down the route of a European-style social welfare state, we're going to be stuck with European-style levels of unemployment. If we don't make that choice, if we return to our best traditions of free markets and individual liberty and a free economy, well, then hopefully it's going to take a while. Even if we had your tech bubble levels of growth, it would still take about 3 years to come down to a normal unemployment rate. If we have the right policies that encourage entrepreneurship and business expansion, then we're going to see those jobs being created and unemployment will come down. It'll take a bit of time, but if we don't have the right policies, I mean, we're taking a look at a very, very long recession.
James Shirk, thanks again for being with us on The Savage Nation.
Thanks, Michael. It's great to be here. And if any of your listeners want to find out more about what I was talking about and seeing some of the numbers behind that, they can go to www.heritage.org. And we have a new report that I just put out explaining just how long it's going to take for the unemployment rate to come down. So you can go to www.heritage.org to get all the details about what I was talking about.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
I was very lucky because I had a classical high school education before I went to college and grad school. And this was Jamaica High School, Queens, New York. In those days, it was a tough school. And we had to learn a language. And in college, I had to learn two languages to get through Queens College. You had to learn them and examine them, believe it or not. Today, you don't even have to speak English to get through Queens College. In fact, if you speak English, you're considered a racist. At most colleges today, if you speak English too well, you're probably investigated by the Department of Homeland Security. Anyone who speaks English too well is looked upon as somewhat suspect by the TSA. They get a double frisking. What a country we live in. It's like an upside-down world to me. I'm like, it's another world, Rip Van Savage here. The reason I mentioned the Greek gods is because in high school, I had to learn the Greek gods. In high school, we had to be somewhat familiar with the Greek gods. So you say, what do you need that crap for? Well, no, would you rather learn the rap artists with gold teeth or bling in their nostrils? Now, why did we have to study the Greek gods? Well, because the Greek mythological culture had a lot to do with Western literature. Greek mythological literature. And some of you would know some of the names. For example, Aphrodite. If I say Aphrodite, the average person who's read anything would know who Aphrodite was. Or if I say the gods such as, let me name some of the Greek gods, okay? And some of you know it because you've had, good educations. You don't have to be a scholar to know what these mean. But the average person in my day would have known who these deities were. Ancient gods and modern faces. You say, I don't want to know that I'm a Christian or I'm Jewish. I don't even want to hear it. It doesn't mean that you have to worship the ancient gods in order to be an educated person. You should know a lot of things that you don't have to follow. I mean, you could know how an addict puts heroin in his arm. It doesn't mean you have to shoot heroin in your arm, for example. Don't be so afraid of learning. Learning isn't so terrifying. So the gods of Greece are an interesting subject, which you'll see where I'm going to get to in a minute. Who are they? Poseidon, Apollo, Artemis, Aphrodite, Dionysus, Zeus, Athena, Hera, Hestia, Ares, Hephaestus, Demeter, Hades, Hermes. Some of these you probably have some familiarity. Everyone listening to this show has heard the name Zeus, right? Or you saw a movie, The Poseidon Adventure, so you know what Poseidon. Poseidon, Aphrodite. Okay, if I say Aphrodite, what do you think of? I'm not interested in Aphrodite.
Today I'm interested in Dionysus. That's why I play Dion in the Belmonts. Because Dionysus rose from the depths of ancient civilization and tore the Apollonian order apart. Dionysus was also known as Bacchus. He was the god of pleasure, basically. And as you well know, our society today is given over to pleasure to the extent that Bacchus or Dionysus would be the god that would probably rule America, other than Jesus or God himself. And our civilization is now crumbling as a result of the Dionysian elements that are within man, that have been somewhat controlled, that have now broken free or been let out of the cage, so to speak. As early as 186 before Christ, the Roman Senate actually issued a proclamation that suppressed all Bacchic societies throughout Italy as a conspiracy against the state. Now look where we've come to today. Look where we've come today. Take a look at where we are today, where Bacchus or Dionysus is revered, held up as the role model. And, you know, these were considered at a certain time something to be suppressed, kept underground, kept in the hidden background. And we were supposed to be rigid and self-controlled, right? Well, the question is, what's the balance? What's the balance point? Is it to let yourself go completely? No, because you wind up like that actor, whatever his name was, who was the cocaine and the hooker a few weeks ago. You don't want to be like him. Or the slut girls of Hollywood. In my day, even if they were like that, they made believe that they were ladies. Today, they hide the ladyhood in them because the degenerates who run Hollywood want their women. They actually hate women. You don't understand this. It's something that's very hard for you to understand. The degenerates who run Hollywood hate women. And so, therefore, they want women to debase themselves with drugs, with alcohol, and with sexuality. Don't you understand how this works? The degenerates hate women. So, therefore, any woman who is debased in that manner, they put up on a pedestal. That's how I see it. And so, that's I'm talking about this, right? So, madness, violence, wildness, terror, God's double nature. Is liberalism about liberation? Is liberalism about liberation? Yes, to the child, to the average child, they think that liberals stand for liberation, ecstasy, and inspiration, and they think that a conservative stands for the opposite. But in fact, your daughter is more likely to wind up in the hands of those bringing about madness, violence, wildness, and terror as a result of the liberalism that is now raging through the universities. Do you understand that? Okay. So that's what we're talking about. So which way do you want your children to go? Do you want them to be overly rigid? You can't raise a child that way today. Cannot do it. If you do, they're going to rebel and they're going to go the opposite way. On the other hand, if you're going to let them just, don't do anything I wouldn't do, that kind of child rearing. You ever hear those parents, the Marin County, Upper East Side women? Oh, well, honey, don't do anything I wouldn't do, they say to the daughter at 14. So the daughter doesn't do anything she wouldn't do, and the daughter's in rehab at 14 and a half. That's all. Goes out with a pair of pants on her. I mean, it's unbelievable to me the way they walk around today. Poor women. Poor women. I see children today. I'm just rambling. Today I'm a rambling man. Last week, I almost did a whole show last week about my feelings about children. I look at children when I see them and I feel bad for them. Little children. I feel bad for them. I look at them and my heart hurts for them. I know he's saying, well, what are you giving to the bleeding heart? What are you, a bleeding heart liberal or something? No, if I see kids, there's a lot of children in the Marin County area, and I divide my time between a number of different communities. And this is a rookery out here. Many of the liberal white families flee the city of San Francisco once they have children in order to give them an education where they won't be mugged and have their clothing robbed and their lunch money stolen. And so they come out to talk about it. They come to the safe white suburbs. I don't blame them. They're afraid to raise their kids where the kid is going to be mauled. So anyway, they're here. And they continue their liberalism here. But you see the children. And I look at children 3, 4, 5, and they're running, and they're just average. You don't like any child through the ages, any race, any culture. But I look at them, and I say, what future is waiting for these kids? You know, when you have a government that is so avaricious that it will really put into debt children unto the fourth generation of this country, in order to aggrandize themselves and hold on to power. They'll bankrupt us onto the fourth generation. I look at these children and I fear for them. But it's not only the monetary element that I worry about. I mean, that is a bad one, but that's not what I'm really getting at. I fear that they're going to wind up slaves. I swear to God, my guts tell me these little white children are going to wind up enslaved by the third world. And I have reason to say that to you. And the reason is that the white liberal would like to see the people of this country enslaved. They say that we exploited the world, we exploited the resources of the world, and that to them there's nothing that a third worlder can't do, that cannot do, that's not good. And there's nothing that an American can do that is good. Nothing. And so they say, well, it's, you know, it's turnaround, it's fair game. And they'd like to see the children in this country turned into little slaves. And that's what I fear. So you say, well, come on, that's absurd. We have the strongest military on earth. What is the good of a strong military when you have men like Robert Gates, the defense secretary, who gives a speech and says, quickly, hush, hush, pass, don't ask, don't tell, while the Congress is not in session. This is a man who's cut one military expenditure after another that has to do with weapons systems, and now he's spending all of his time trying to push don't ask, don't tell. Why don't you ask the men who are actually taking the bullets what they think about don't ask, don't tell? Don't ask me. Ask them what they think it'll do to the military. Or let's go another step. I read last week that the geniuses under Obama are now going to put women on submarines. Now I ask you something. I'm going to ask you something. I know there are brave women. I've met them. I've seen helicopter pilots who are women. I understand that there are women who can be as fine a pilot as a man. But don't you understand what happens when you put a woman on a submarine?
Savage.